You are now listening to The Lance Gerv Show, the boldest spot on internet radio.
Good morning and welcome to another episode of The Lance Gerv Show. This is not a traditional show. This is a laid-back, wind-me-down conversation. Conversation, well, in actuality, it's just one-sided. So it's just me kind of thinking out loud like I used to do. And many people have asked me to start doing these again, so I'm going to start doing them again. I can't really guarantee how long this is going to be because I hate to admit it, but brother man is tired tonight. And really, it's not because I'm so physically tired, but I'm kind of spinning at the wheels mentally. I have so much to do, and that's not a complaint, but I have so much to do and I'm happy about it. I'm happy about it because I'm going into my weekend and I have like so much to do that I couldn't possibly finish all of it in a weekend, but I'm going to daggone sure try. And that's heaven for me to be able to have enough on the laundry list to do and just get lost in it and multitask and think and create and flow. And my weekends for me, they last by the way it feels. It's like when you go outside and they say, well, right now it's 32 degrees with the wind chill, it's 17 degrees. Well, for me, you know, my days off, it's like it goes by in like 25% of the time. That's the way it feels to me because I get so engrossed in the different activities and different things that I have to do. And this weekend is a monster weekend to get myself back up and running. And the side of me just detached because I was doing the live shows. You know, I have to make a few more connections that are beyond my skill level, skill set. So folks are like, what happened, Lance? It was going so good. Everything's still sitting here. And I said, you know what? Let me chug-a-lug along on all the other levels. When my friend comes over, we'll chop it up. We'll make it happen. And it'll be happening before the beginning of the year. It should be happening from this weekend. But we'll see, okay? I mean, I have everything here to make a lot of magic on different fronts, and it will happen. But I'm content in having it. And I guess that's maturity on my part because I've always been very anxious to do things. And I still am. I push very hard. I love it. And I explained it time and time and again, when I don't have something dangling, you know, a carrot dangling in front of my face as for, you know, as a motivation or a goal, I don't get depressed, but I get very down if I don't have that thing to go after. I like to go to bed knowing that I got this done and I got this tomorrow. When I wake up, I'm going to attack it. You know, I have to earn my sleep. For me, sleep is like that minute rest between rounds in a battle. You don't really rest in that minute. You just kind of idle and get yourself reset. The same with me when I'm sleeping. I get myself reset. And I just ask God for enough time to get most of the stuff that's out of inside of me, out of my soul, out to the world. I think very fast and I guess I'll never get it all out. My mind races fast and thoughts race. And I just reach out and grab one and share it with the world. So that being said, if you can climb inside my head, boy, some of you would get high. Some of you would throw the crack down, the heroin, the PCP, the mollies, the liquor, the cigarettes, the stimulants, the caffeine, coffee, all those things that stimulate you. You'd throw it down if you can take a trip through my head. I don't need drugs. I am a drug. I'm serious. I've come to that conclusion in this life. I am a drug. I am my own drug. I just have to sit there and be quiet and think. I can entertain myself. You can't punish me. You know, when I used to be a little younger, my folks would say, go to your room. You see, these kids these days, they don't understand. Going to your room was a lot different back then. I liked to read. They knew that, but they didn't figure, well, let's take this stuff away from him to read. I didn't have a smartphone, didn't have a computer, didn't need it. I can just think. You know, I mean, I would look out the window and just see things. I would look at objects and see how the light shines off of it and imagine, okay, this is how I'm going to draw glass. This is how I'm going to draw metal. This is how I'm going to draw wood. I could just sit there and look at things and educate myself and entertain myself. So I was never bored as a kid. And with all this gadgetry and technology that you can use to project your thoughts out into the world, every minute of every day is just so exciting to me. Very exciting. Because before, you know, you write out a paper, you have to write something out. you know, the good penmanship, not making any mistakes. Now you can type, you got spell check. I don't need spell check. I'm not saying I'm that smart, but I'm from the old school. But I was born at the perfect time to be able to still be at my prime mentally, to be able to utilize this stuff. And I just think it's so wonderful that I can draw a picture, scan it, and send it out to the world. I mean, that's like, the whole world is like the classroom. When I was a class clown and drawing pictures of the teacher and passing it around, I could pass it around to the whole world now. That's a hell of a rush, you know. But I'm really laid back in this chair, and I detach my microphone. I'm holding my hand held in my hand, and I'm really. Oh, my phones are bugging out. Let me turn these down because they will be whistling at me. I don't know whether because too much information. I do my best audios when I'm wearing my socks and my t-shirts. Is that all, Scurf? Well, you figure it out. I'm home alone. No, I'm not home alone. Wifey's in fast asleep, and I'm in my man cave, my studio. But you know, we all walk around the way we want to walk around, nice and free. But anyway, you know, the subject of love continued to come up, and on the bus, in private conversations, in my thoughts, emails and text messages. And I'm going to speak heart to heart and just, you know, flow with something right now. You know, I hate to sound my age, but, you know, things are different now. Things are not the way they used to be. And I don't think that it will ever be the way it used to be. When I was younger and the older folks would say, you know, things not the way it used to be. Each time period gradually changes over into something different. And it might be really selfish for me to think that things would be the old way or the way that it was prior. But in a sense, what's now came about from the time before. But we kind of lost control of the steering wheel along the way some point because things are really out of control now. And at nighttime, one of my ways of really getting high naturally is when I come home and I throw up YouTube and I have it connected to my speakers and I play some really nice songs. And I prefer a lot of the songs from the late 70s and early 80s, the period in my life when I was developing from much younger, but just developing as a man. I was a man boy. I was a young man, but I was like a young king. I was a young boy. I had man parts, but I wasn't always developed emotionally, mentally, but I had manners. So it was a swirl of experiences for me that I was intelligent enough to absorb, but yet it kind of sharpened me because I was still young, but the enthusiasm threw me into it even more. And I learned a whole lot while developing. I didn't have the chance or really the time to have that insecure period as a young man, which I did, but I did have it very young. It was strange because it was a big chunk of it that was missing. Like, say, for example, when you're 11, 12 years old, okay, you're young, you know, puppy water, you know, the feelings that you are developing and you're wondering about and you're like, wow. And then there's that next phase where you're dating and you're on the front couch late at night and you kind of, you know, making out and exploring and that can go further. And most times it didn't. And then you have that phase where no matter where it is, 17, 18, 19, 20, where you consider yourself a grown man, but you're not emotionally developed all the way, you know, you're getting there, but on the intellectual level, you just don't understand the passage of time. You don't understand the full brunt of what responsibility is all about. And in a way, it's still all fun and games. You're fresh out the box. All your parts are not as worn down as they will be. You don't have the toxicities that you have. You don't have the baggage that you have later on. Not that we should consider it baggage, but, you know, just to free flow and speak, I'm not really trying to be politically correct, but we're not scarred. We're not scarred the way we are when we're older. We're not as cynical as when we're older. We're not as cautious as when we're older. The world is open and free and you just want to dive into it and you have that feeling of invincibility and you haven't caught your first loss yet. Now, there is no one age for this. It could be 17, it could be 22, it could be 25 for some people, you know, but I was thrust into many situations that kind of forced my maturity on certain levels and I had a deeper understanding. And I was a romantic kid from young, even if it was only me that knew that. You know, I looked at love a certain way. I looked at, you know, women a certain way. And, you know, it's funny because I had a comment and I joke about my sordid past. I joke about the decadence that I had been involved in. And many people who are here understand my honesty, understand that a lot of us men go through periods where we're just buck wild. And many times we catch scars. You know, we'll catch a disease, we'll make a child, not that a child is a scar, I'm just saying that out of wedlock, unplanned, something we didn't anticipate, something we might not have been ready for. We catch the scars where some of us can get incarcerated. That wasn't as common back in my day coming up. That just wasn't on. You know, on the horizon for most. We didn't think that way. We had really good, clean fun. But on the subject of women, you know, I was a romantic guy and I was a well-developed guy from very young. So even though I'm about to be 53 in April and, you know, I've got pictures from way back in 1980, the body I had, bodybuilding and stuff like that. You know, I was a young guy, but because of the imagery, it brought about situations that I kind of bluffed my way through because I really wasn't mature enough to deal with it, but I wanted it because of the goodies that came with it. So there are a lot of older women that I had a chance to spend time with. I won't say anything in a lewd way. And it stirred me up in many ways. And it taught me about myself. And it also confused me because I was in deep water lots of times. And I don't mean confused, like confused about my sexuality. I was always hetero. Always have, always been. But, you know, it stirred me up because I knew there was more to this thing than met the eye. And I always wondered, I would see the older folks, and when I mean older from that period, who are in their 20s and 30s and slashing tires and breaking windows and showing up at somebody's house 3 a.m. screaming at the top of their lungs. And these people weren't on drugs. They were just in love or hurt or caught up. Caught up because, you know, I remember the good old days when just a goodnight kiss on the front steps was something that made your heart race. And now these days, it's just like I hear people on the bus, "Yo, ma, what's up? You looking good. What's your Facebook?" "Oh, my Facebook is so and so and so and so." "You got a man? Mm-hmm. Is he doing you right? You want to talk to me?" "Yeah. What's up with you?" "Nothing. What you doing later?" "Nothing. I'm going to come by and see what you're working with." Wow. Like you're sampling or shopping for parts for a car. Like it's just, there's no emotion. It's just like, let me see how good you give head. And I'm going to judge you as a person on how you perform oral sex on me. Not me, I'm just saying, like, that's how these young guys think, and not all of them. There are a lot of decent young men out here, and I have to say that, and I have to give them their kudos and appreciations. But we've really declined as a people. And I hate to sound like some old guy trying to mess up some young guys' fun, but I got to tell y'all guys, y'all are missing out on a whole lot. And they're going to say, "Well, what about you, Skurve? You just said that you did things from young or whatever." But you know what? There was a romantic element to all of that even still. And I had some wild times and I knew the difference. But the times were different. You're really playing with fire now. Hate to mess up your fun, people, but the wrong move and with the wrong person can cause death. And I was doing things in those times. And I'm the first to say that I wasn't some skilled person to look at a person and say, "You know what? They have a disease and I'm going to back up." No, I was blessed. I was protected and I was preserved. That's beyond me. Thank the man above. okay? But he preserved me to be able to be alive at this particular point to say what I say. And we're moving too fast from what I see. And I see a lot of young girls who, they're manipulated. Some of them are out there aggressive and not manipulated. They're going for what they think they want. We all have these different voids inside of us that we try to fill with different things, whether it be drugs or lots of overtime at the job because we don't want to go home, or sex because it feels good temporarily because we have a pain that the sex really can't take care of. But for the moment that we're having the escapade of the fantasy, the orgasm, it disappears for a while, but then guess what? It comes right back. So we repetitiously go over and over through the same cycle, binge, purge, get into what we do and get high and come back into that sad reality or that void that has us feeling empty. See, I didn't even script these words. I hope I'm making sense. But yeah, you know, it bugged me out because I do check my comments on YouTube, and a lot of them are not really worth responding to. I'm not saying that the people who say good things, I try my best to respond to everybody. But you get the trolls, you get the haters, you get the people who make up new profiles on YouTube so they can say what they want to say, so you don't really know who it is saying it. But because of the way they write, I see certain words and I see certain styles, and there's certain things that you do when you write that you can't hide unless you're so much of a pro that you know how to alter it. So I know who's who. But there was somebody who I know is from my past, right? And they didn't know me well. And they were like, something to the effect of, an old player like you, it's a damn shame that something about an old player. And you know, I kind of took offense to that. Because you'd have these mediocre guys that will not like the fact that you had lots of attention from young ladies in the past, in your past, and they didn't. And now they're middle-aged, and now they're older, and now they're like, man, I don't have anything to talk about. I don't have anything to think about. They're going through their midlife crisis, and old Skurv is just cracking up every day. I think I'm going to be spared the midlife crisis. I don't know why, but I think I'm going to be, I joke about it all the time, but I don't have a midlife crisis. I'm really, truly embracing this phase of my life. I really love it. I earned it. I did enough dirt for decades. I did good things for decades. I made bad choices. I made good choices. I did it all. No drugs, no crime, no homo. But other than that, I did it all. Didn't rip anybody off or anything, but I did it all. And I'm blessed to be here at this age with a clean bloodstream and clean, good health to be able to share what I know. How dare anybody say something like that and try to relegate me to some old player status? Because I was never a predator. I was always a gentleman. No woman will ever say I took something from her that she didn't want to give. I was never a predator. I might have been a little seducing spirit here and there, but no. Uh-uh. And if I'm with you, I'll treat you like a queen. And I'll let you know straight up that no, there were other people. I wouldn't say, hi, how you doing? There are other people. But if you asked, you said, is this going to be exclusive? I was like, if you wanted to be, I seem interested in you, but I'm not going to lie. I do date other people, which may involve other things if it comes up. But I'm not going to sit here and lie to you. No, it's just me and you and all this stuff. Now, I can count it on one hand where I did that and it wasn't good, you know, but that wasn't the majority of what I had been through. All I'm saying is that I tell my stuff on this channel. A lot of people, a lot of men, a lot of women, they go with the holier-than-thou stuff, and there's a lot of creeping going on. And I know that. Because while they would creep in, I was the creepy. I was the one they called, you know? Symbolically, not everybody that I know. I'm just saying that I've been in those situations on the other side. And so I understand that. So we have people who point fingers because what I may say is the truth. And it pulls the covers off of what a lot of people are doing. And you can't lie to me with that. And I'm beyond that. I love this phase because I can share my experiences. And if I can help somebody to make a better choice or have a little more insight in these dangerous times, then so be it, then my job is done. I was preserved for a reason. And I'm telling you, you know, someone's name popped up into my head, an old classmate. And that happens a lot, you know, because now we have Facebook and Google and we can search people, not just stalking them, but you say, wow, wonder whatever happened to old so-and-so. And I wonder whatever happened to this one or that one. And then, you know, lots of times I've reached out to people. Hey, let's just connect. I know you're grown now. Maybe I haven't seen you from elementary school or junior high school or even high school, but let's connect. We have a past. Doesn't mean anything now so much, but a friendly word every now and then, or when you want to reminisce, hey, reach out. Some you connect with, some you connect with that one time and that's it. But I'm not going to put the person's name out, but I thought about her. She lived on the block with a lot of my friends grew up on, and I put her name in and her sister's name came up, and I found out that her sister died last year. Now the sister was like about maybe 6 years older than all of us, but like when we were like 12 and 13, she was like 18 and 19, and every time she walked down the block I was like, wow, look at her. She was well developed, right? And I mean, that was some little boy stuff, but you know, to see that she's at the age, she was at the age in her late 50s that she passed away. And I saw the face, and the face is the same, not even older looking, just the same face. But they never mentioned how she passed away, which they don't have to, but it broke my heart. So this wasn't the initial person I was looking for. It was, you know, it was their older sister. And I found out where that initial person lived down here in Florida, and they got married. And so and that's all I needed to know. And I kind of started reminiscing, you know, and I started to see how life is so short. And I mean, everybody here knows it. We've spoke about it on the show. My dear friend Carlos, his brother Gary, passed away several weeks ago. And that one hit me hard, where it's like, you know, when you bite your tongue and you're in a room full of people and you all are talking and you happen to be the one talking and you bite your tongue. And for a split second, it hurts so much that you think you pause too long. You look around and see who's looking at you. But like folks are eating and looking at other places, and you're like, okay, good. You don't know I bit my tongue. It was like that. I was active, and we were all laughing and talking and stuff. In the back of my mind, I said, oh my God. You know, Gary passed away. And you realize how any day you can go. And I kind of jumped off into another subject, right? And I didn't intend to talk about this, but, you know, every day for me is very precious. And when I see how friends and acquaintances and coworkers and schoolmates and different people down through the years have transitioned, it lets me know that I have something that I need to leave behind with those who are here before I'm gone. I wanted to speak about love, but I want to touch on this. Think of like your parents and your grandparents or anybody who may be deceased. And what do you have of them? Okay, we have photos and sometimes we have urns and keepsakes. And of course we have the memories and stuff and the physical things. But for the most part, in my generation, you may have a few photos that are faded, but then think of your grandparents. And we're talking about people in my age group now, because grandparents for somebody like 15 years old might be my age. But for me, it's going to be up there. And the technology wasn't there for them to preserve something of themselves. So you see the faded photo. That's very faded. Photos get destroyed. People have fires. People lose things. People spill coffee. Things get crushed. But for many of our grandparents and great-grandparents and some of our parents, we don't even have a recording of their voice. So for my children and grandchildren and great-great-grandchildren, this is one of the things that I do. And it's not just for to be internet famous or cyber famous. And it's for everybody. If you like what I do, hey, you're more than welcome. This is from the heart. This is what I do. And maybe what I'm saying these days, while my kids are very young that they can't understand, if I happen to be gone and they listen to what I'm saying now, it's like, okay, you know, I can understand what daddy meant because I'm older now, but I couldn't understand it before because I was too young. Or maybe a friend or a fan may get it and say, wow, you know, those words were deep, or he was funny, or whatever. So this is why I try to share many different gears of who I am. I can't be one way all the time. I can't be the militant guy. I can't be the funny guy all the time. I can't be the sensuous guy all the time. I can't be the old freak, the old player, like some of you all say. Sometimes I'm philosophical. Sometimes I'm confused and need clarification on certain issues and will reach out to people. It's okay to be all of those things. And too many times in this life, we wear one hat and we don't know how to switch gears. We have to know how to switch gears to preserve ourselves. And I always said to myself that when I came out here online, I just want to be me. I don't want to be this Lance Skurve character, which, you know, I mean, for the whole presentation, you want to have it uniform and looking nice, but that really is me. Sometimes with a little MSG added, a little salt, a little flavoring added, I amp it up a little bit to keep it entertaining, but never do I go off of who I am or out of character of who I am. I may talk crazy at one moment. That's what I am at that moment. See? So I guess you all understand that. But getting back to the love thing, boy, back in those days, the songs, the love songs, and Heat Wave, and Always and Forever, and just the dance music, you know, Love is the Message, and the block parties, and the groups, the Whispers, the Spinners, the Temptations, the Miracles, Smokey Robinson. God, there's so many names I could, you know, Minnie Riperton. Just, and it's like, why did he pick those, not the more famous? No, but there's just so much of a rich culture that they spoke about love. And when they spoke about other things, they did it in such a shrewd way that we just didn't understand. It went right over our heads as kids. You know, I remember the song by the Miracles. Do it, do it, do it, do it, yeah, do it, baby. Do it, baby. See, Ramona Brockett got me singing and I can't sing. Can't nobody move me. Can't nobody groove me like you do. Ooh, girl, you do me up now when I'm getting down. When I'm getting down. Getting down meant sex. And we knew that. But getting down, it could be on the dance floor, right? But that was like, you know, do it, baby. Do what? All we said was do it. It could be like do it drawing or do it cooking or do the dance or whatever. But then when you were really doing it and you were really feeling it, you knew exactly what it was that he or she was doing, okay? Getting down, going down. That could make you sing. Their feeling is so powerful, but it was shrouded with class. It had class to it because you can play that song and not fear your kids hearing anything that was too much for their ears. These kids today are so over-sexualized. They're reaching for something that they have no understanding for. Now, I said that about myself, but that was my doing. The situations I put myself in, because I was curious, and we're all curious at a certain age, but there's certain things that just should not be put in a kid's mind as far as through the music or visually. You go on these computers and you know they're going to go, because I used to find my brother's stashes of softcore porn magazines in the basement. It's like, Lancey, what are you doing in the basement for 3 hours? I'm trying to put the magazines back so quick. You know what I mean? Smuggle one upstairs and have to walk past my parents. What's that? You know, I got a stack of comic books and one like Playboy magazine in the middle of it. That, you know, Playboy was way bigger than the comic book. So I had to fold it down a certain way and get through the room real quick, you know. But that was the hormones talking. And you're curious. But these days, you know, the kids' minds are blasted, not only with the visual of a partially nude person, but the graphic sex acts, the graphic group sex and alternative endeavors that people do. And the more you click, the more you find, and bestiality and, oh God, midgets. Hey, no hate on the midgets, right? I have a midget story I was telling Madam Whipass. But anyway, it's just too much. It's really too much. And a lot of these kids, I can see the molestation is like so high. And it's like, to me, from what I see, and I'm talking on a spiritual level, what I see with my third eye, for those of you who understand me when I talk that way, it's worse than it has ever been before. A lot of our kids are turned out. I mean, they're getting it from the internet. They're getting it from their curiosity, which is an innocent curiosity. So I'm never going to say that they're to blame for their own molestation, but because of the curiosity and that wayward adult who takes advantage of them, it's getting worse now. The seeds that were planted years ago are coming out for the world to see. And we really need to really check ourselves. We used to watch our kids like a hawk. And now we have some young ladies who walk out ahead of their kids off of the bus. And if I'm not watching, I would close that door and drive off with the kid. But I'm watching, like, how can she just get off the bus and not turn around and wait for her child to get off the bus? If you can do that in the street, well, what happens when you're home and you feel relaxed and you have that uncle that you really don't know what's in his heart too much, and you just, I'm going to run out to the store real quick. And then you run into a girlfriend and you start talking, and he's positioned by the window to see when you walk up or drive up, and he starts to work on your child. This is how these things happen. And I don't know how I got there either. Maybe somebody's getting something from this. And what I also want many of you to do, hit me up, since you like these little monologues that I do, and let me know what you want me to talk about. If you have a question, text it to me, 407-924-8793. If you have something on your mind that you want to speak about, of course, you know I will always allow you to come on, or we record something or do a live show. But I want to get into the topics that really matter the most. We have the glossy things that celebrities do and things that happen in the news. We talk about it, but what's hitting you home in your heart? You know, every year that I do this, I always seek to go deeper, and I vow, I promise, we're going to go deep this year coming in, 2016, and really starting from when I get everything hooked up. I'm really happy with the upgrades that I have. Like I said, I just went a bit above my head as far as my skill set on connecting everything up. And I got so much wires in this room. It is unbelievable, but it's going to work some magic for us. We're going to create some wonderful memories. We're going to have some nice late night conversations every single night where you can call in or just listen. Our weekends are going to be filled with good stuff. We're going to talk about all these things that are happening in the world, and I invite everybody on. But I have to say, some of y'all just want to hear yourselves talk. And we're going to share the time now a little better than that. You know, all this talking over. You right there like a little hungry puppy every night and just. Let's have meaningful conversation on many different topics, not just one way Charlie. Like I said, you know, I can be the angry black man. Lots of times I am, but there's so much more to my personality. And even though it says the Lance Curve Show, I don't even want to hog the time. I don't want to just, oh, it's about me. So I will do these monologues. That way, when it's time for me to be quiet on the show, I can be quiet. And then, you know, if you want a little dose of me, if you like what I do, hey, we'll always have these. I have the equipment sitting here, so it's not a problem for me. And I am tired, but I'll talk a little longer. There was one point that I wanted to miss, that I didn't want to miss. See, I'm starting to miss words, so I know I'm getting tired. But we're missing out on so much. Back in the days, holding hands, a stolen kiss, an embrace. It was all about love. It really wasn't about the lust or ooh, look at her body and look how she's showing her body. The girl was pretty or she had some quality about her that you liked. You wanted to be near her. You wanted to hold her. You wanted to have some quiet time with her. And it wasn't necessarily to get your hands up under her skirt or to feel up her breast. It was just to be with her, to be wanted and to show that you wanted her. I remember I was 14 years old and I saved up some money and I got this like gold little bracelet. I won't put the young lady's name out there, but not that it matters, right? But I think I went on a date with her like once and you know, we're in school at that time. We would like see each other. We were in different schools actually. And I really liked her. She was nice. She was just so pretty to me. And I went and bought her this gold bracelet and I gave it to her. And I didn't expect anything from it. I just wanted her to have it. I said, just think of me when you know. And some guys these days would say, oh, what a simp you were. You are so weak. You were weak for the pussy. It wasn't about pussy. It was like, I liked the person. What happened to that these days? What happened as a man to be able to open up your emotions and your feelings and to be tender with a woman? These guys these days, they seem like they just want to be hard. Or these guys who have been scarred by a woman who may have been scarred and she's going to scar back some. It's become a game now. Well, I'm going to get what I want before you get what you want or before you get something out of me or before you get to me. What happened with being real? Because as human beings, we, male and female, we both have emotions. We both have feelings. We both have needs. And it's so sad that so many of our sisters are relegated to, well, I don't want the drama, so I'm just going to go on and get that battery-operated boyfriend. And I mean, that's sad. That's really sad. That here you are, as a woman, I'm not blaming you. I'm just kind of like making a state of the game address, state of the union, right? State of the emotional union, the romantic relationship union. But you want to be held. You want somebody to tell you that they love you. You want somebody to really make love to you, where it's you and only you. Yeah, you can go the freakish route and do all kind of things, but it's all based in love. And to wake up with that person and to go through the day with that person, or you go to work to your individual jobs and you know that you're coming back home together and you're going to cook nice. And battery operator boyfriend can do all that? No. And our sisters are hurting so much. They really are, because they may have the orgasm and their bodies release, but the tears are still coming down, not outwardly, but inside. Because many of our sisters have just replaced lust and that temporary feeling, because you do get in heat. Men get horny. You get horny. We all get horny. But it's more to it than that. So there's an imbalance now. So you claim to be satisfying yourself with your phallic plastic symbol or tool. And the need deep on the inside is still not being addressed. So there's a lot of resentment. And with the men, they go through these women like, I mean, I don't understand it. And people call me an old player. I've been around the world. yeah. But not viciously like that. I was just overly romantic. I remember the episode of The Honeymooners where Ralph Cramden, Jackie Gleason, I think a dog of his got taken to the pound. And the threat was that they were going to put the dog to sleep. And it's like, oh my God, I can't do that. I got to go and save my dog. And he showed how much compassion and love he had in his heart, because when he came back home, he brought the dog, but he had like 50 other dogs with him. That was me on a romantic level with women. I'm just a very loving person that way. And it resulted in a lot of other things, but it was I like to make people feel good. I like to make them laugh. That's an overall thing with me. I'm giving that way. I love the person. And I was thinking about this. Oh, you like that? Come over here, boy, and do this to me. They didn't have to fight me or convince me to go, you know, oh no, I can't do that. Oh, really? You know, I was still a young guy, but these days it's just off the chain. And a lot of our young ladies, I mean, like in the late teens, early 20s, and going up near 30, a lot of them, they can be pretty. They can look good physically, but there's something missing. That glow, that hope for love, like I'm a young lady and one day I'm going to meet that special someone type thing, you know, where that was a given, where that was something that was written in the contract of life, where you just knew that I'm going to go to school. Now, we know that part's jacked up in this society called America. Don't get me started that way. I'm trying to stay away from that stuff right now. But you know, you're going to go to school, get a good education, get your career, and meet somebody nice, and start to have kids, and get a nice home. And, you know, folks talk about the white picket fence and stuff. But really, how many people's stories really go that way? Really, 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 and truly, you know. Oh, you go to school, you get an education. A lot of folks drop out. A lot of folks have kids before they even get out of high school. I'm not a doomsayer, and I'm not making fun of anybody, because anyone, no matter what happened in their life, can come out of it and get back on track to where they were supposed to be. But it will take the willpower, and it will take sacrifice to correct that bad choice or that oversight. You know, now past a certain point, you know, hate to say, you keep messing up, you're going to sink yourself. And we need more people to say that. We have too many people who are just, oh, no, just keep messing up. I'm going to enable you. We can't have it that way either. But our young ladies and the young men, it's just like they're zombies now. They're looking at these videos of Nicki Minaj and Lil Wayne, and looking at the porn and Pornhub and YouPorn. And Lance, how do you know these things? I'm up on the internet at night. I don't want any viruses, but things do pop up, and it's like, oh my God, look what she's doing. You know, gotta click out of that, you know, because if that's all I was doing, I would not get the amount of stuff done that I do after 10 and a half hours of driving in the public. But that is so stimulating, and it gives me a tremendous insight. And when I come right into this room, now Mrs. Skirv is up a little bit there. There may be some festivities, but other than that, I come into this room and I have all of these different things fresh in my mind, things that have touched me, touched my psyche, and absorbed into my soul, and I can just put it down. So it's a heck of a training for me. It's like mental, spiritual, and emotional flashcards. And I come in with these groceries, the groceries of experience, and I can cook it up in certain ways and share it with everybody online. It's wonderful. So it's helped me to grow. It's helped me to see myself more as I look into the lives and view and observe the lives of other people. It teaches me a lot about myself. And I'm going to run on that one. I just want to say, to really develop, we really need to look within ourselves, honestly and truthfully. At this age, I still got a few jacked up things about me that I don't really want to see. And I have to face them. They're there. I got to clean them out. I have to share it with the world. I don't want to make a transition with this baggage on me, because it will make my transition that much harder An easy transition is when you got everything out of you and you have your ducks in a row and you've worked on yourself. Even if you haven't gotten it right all the way yet, at least you were in the process of. And I do think you get brownie points for that. But if we live a life of denial and don't look to clean up what's inside of us or straighten out the deck of cards that we were dealt in this life, you can die peacefully. Is that a word? Yeah. Peacefully in your sleep. But there's some pain. There's some hurt. There's some type of discomfort that's going to go on. You could be a person who had been working on yourself and pass away in a tragic, painful accident. But at the end, your transition will be a beautiful thing once you cross over. That's just something I believe. Because you know what? With every year that passes by, we know more and more people who have passed on than are here with us, as far as our inner circle. The trick is to extend your life, I believe. We never forget those who have transitioned because we're going to where they are. We're going to go through that same process. Now, where we end up, it depends on us. But in order to extend our usefulness in life here, I believe you need to continue to expand your circle of friends, your circle, the circles you travel in. You have to replenish those. Because if they die out with the people who are close to you, then you'll lose that reason for living gradually and slowly, because you'll be thinking of a past and can't reflect it with the people that were with you because they're gone. I try to share my experiences with new people and I vibe off of the responses that you give me. And that keeps me alive. And that's why I do not feel this particular age. That's why I can jump on my unicycle after 41 years and ride it. I can go to the gym. I can feel good about enough about myself and looking forward to a future and want to feel good when the future comes, because this is what motivates me to eat good and keep myself and my insides clean, to be able to produce the good stuff and share and have the energy to enjoy life, because I'm looking forward to the best of my life. I can't tell myself, well, you know, you was 50 years old about 2.5 years ago, man. It's all over. I'm not delusional. I'm not 18 years old. But I ain't trying to take Viagra either. You know what I mean? I don't think that way. You know what? And it's not about the penis, y'all. It's not about the penis. And like I said in one of the other shows that I did, it's not about the big dick or the hard penis. What about the penis of wisdom? What about the penis of being a good provider? What about the penis of being a good friend? What about the penis of submitting to divine law? See, there's a lot of ways to have a big penis and a hard penis. There's a lot of fools out here with a hard dick and nothing behind it. And that's all they can be. And this is why so many of our women would really rather deal with a battery-operated boyfriend.
Make sure to check out the boldest blog at landscurve.com and follow Scurve on Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube under Lance Scurve.